fighting robot. Mega Man.
Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 152. This week we bring you a very special futuristic topic, but before we get there, let's introduce our panel. This week we're joined by Sir Trent.
I am a robot, but not in disguise.
What, wouldn't you be an android then?
That worked out so perfectly.
And we also have Sam.
Hey, what's up? I don't think I can do the whole lag disconnect robot sound on cue, but... Oh, that was beautiful. He doesn't even know.
Anyhow, this week, as Trent alluded to, we're talking about robots and androids and anything else that can kind of fit into that thing. I guess cyborgs also count as well. I don't really know that this... Okay, robots are fairly mechanical creatures.
How about start off this podcast by Googling the definition between the three?
Well, that's going to be exciting radio, but...
We need to know where we're working from.
This radio?
I mean, you know what I mean. The difference between robots and androids.
I still maintain that androids are like humanoid-like machines, whereas robots are anything that is not human. Maybe robots can be androids, but androids can't be robots. I don't know.
Maybe it's acceptable to bully a robot, and the second the robot becomes sentient and gets mad at you, it becomes an android.
Well, basically how it's broken down, and this article kind of agrees, a robot doesn't have to have a human form. It can, but it's a mechanical being. A android is in the form of a human.
Bam.
And then a cyborg is a human that's converted with mechanical parts.
Yeah, it's like half robot, half man.
Yes.
All awesome.
I don't know. Cyborgs usually don't come out that awesome, because usually what happens...
Friggin' Inspector Gadget.
It's not great. Penny saves the day all the time.
Yeah, but Inspector Gadget would be pretty rad if the guy who got fitted with electronics wasn't a complete idiot.
Which is my point, is that's the problem with cyborgs at the time, is that you have that human element to it. It's the part of the reason that RoboCop works, but RoboCop didn't work because his human emotions started taking over, so he couldn't be that cold, cruel, calculating cop that they wanted when they created him.
So why don't they just make RoboCop a robot instead of using the human parts? I've never actually seen RoboCop.
You've never seen RoboCop.
Nope. Why didn't they just straight up make him a robot?
They did attempt to make a robot, and actually the robot is the big bad guy at the climax of the film.
Oh, so the human element keeps him a good guy?
Yes, the robot...
Are these technically spoilers for the new RoboCop movie coming out?
I have no idea. I mean, the RoboCop trailer for the new one kind of hints at that he's a cyborg, and like his human emotions are taking over, which is what kind of hurts them. But yeah, in the original film, and this isn't a spoiler because it's almost 30 years old at this point, they create a machine, and the machine doesn't really differentiate between right or wrong. Like, the first thing it does, it kills one of the board members who was trying to practice with it. So that's why they wanted to have a human to kind of differentiate between that.
Sam, I would recommend watching the first RoboCop. I don't think you need to watch the sequel.
That's pretty much everybody's opinion.
I mean, I didn't have to watch the first RoboCop to know that I don't want to watch the sequel, but...
Attaboy.
On the bright side, whenever you tweet about it, you always get, I'll buy that for a dollar. And that's one of my favorite...
And 80% of the time someone replies with that over Twitter, it's Earl that's replying.
Hey, hush you. Anyhow, RoboCop, cyborg. I guess to give an example of a robot would be something like R2-D2 from Star Wars, who has no type of human characteristics. He doesn't even speak. Well, I mean, he doesn't speak, you know, a language we understand.
He has happy beeps and sad beeps. Those are...
That's what I said. He doesn't speak anything we understand, okay, but he does communicate, and C-3PO can actually understand him, which is our, I guess, translator in the film. And he's also a robot, though he does kind of have human proportions.
But right? Why would you build a robot that... was about to say, I'm getting off topic, but we have no topic. It's great. Why would you build a robot shaped like that? It looked like it'd be very, very hard to walk around to C-3PO, whereas R2-D2 just has these convenient little wheels and rolls around all the time.
Well, we become aware, thanks to the majesty that is the prequel trilogy, that that robot was built by a little boy. A little boy who couldn't act.
That is true. And maybe the fact that his legs didn't work very well is why they're carrying him around in half the episodes. Like, yes, there's a reason he's always broken and being carried on someone's back. So maybe we've cracked the code.
I really don't understand why C-3PO was even a thing. Because when you think about it, he's like a utility droid that's only good for politics and linguistics, basically, right?
Yes.
But in the prequel trilogy, it is explained by Anakin that he built this protocol droid to help his mom with the housework. Like, he couldn't use those parts to build a vacuum. He had to build the least practical droid imaginable.
Guys, he's really, really good at understanding other languages. All right, can you clean the house? Oh, right. I was supposed to... Oh.
No, but he's over tall buildings. Sorry, that's a Canadian joke.
Okay. Canadian Star Wars is a lot more different than the American.
You guys should watch Turkish Star Wars. It's brilliant.
I should, now that you mentioned it. Didn't know it was a thing, but...
It is. Basically, they took all the glory shots of spaceships and filmed it with completely different actors, and there's a lot of on-the-ground sequences where people ride bikes, and it doesn't make any sense because it's in space, but they still used a lot of, like, fighter jet moments from the movies. It's brilliant.
Can we just do, an audio commentary for that instead of, actually doing this podcast? Because that sounds lovely. A film commentary for the Turkish Star Wars. We'll write that down for the future.
But when you think about it, though, the Star Wars films don't have really practical robots in general. I mean, I really like HK from the Knights of the Old Republic series because he wants to kill everything, but he's still slow as balls. And R2-D2 is basically a rolling trash can. So
the Destroyer droids are pretty cool.
Would we class, I guess we can't classify AT-STs and AT-ATs as
yeah,
robots.
Yeah, I know, those are mechs, you can pilot
them. I would
them.
Love to believe that they are robots. I guess mechs are in their whole other category because there's people inside of them.
And what's a droid? Is that just a Star Wars specific term? Actually, I noticed that on the droid commercials on TV, at the bottom it says the droid term is licensed by LucasArts. I never knew that before, but they have to pay LucasArts to use the term droid.
What? It's a lot of free cash.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, LucasArts, I'm not really surprised.
Well, I mean, that company is, I guess he sold it, but it was worth billions. And I guess to kind of complete our 70s and 80s movie definitions of robots, cyborgs, and androids, a android would be the Terminator, which is a robot with a human flesh-like substance put over it.
So an android.
Yeah.
what would we classify the Terminator from Terminator 2 then? Because that thing didn't even have a build to it. He was like liquid, and really, it didn't make a lot of sense either. Because, well, I guess it kind of makes sense. I'm just thinking, like, if I was a giant robot made out of liquid, why would I choose to be a human? I guess it works if you want to blend in and do like espionage kind of things. And I guess he was asking about the boy as a pretending to be a police officer. So I guess it makes kind of sense.
It makes sense at the beginning, the fact that he takes it about the movie.
But as the movie progresses, and the only people who are in the movie are like the original Terminator, the Terminator that's come back from the future and all crazy evil, and then you have John Connor and Sarah Connor. At that point, when it's all them in a room, shouldn't he just turn into a giant fucking spike and start or something?
Well, I don't know if the movie ever gives a reason for it. I mean, most of it's probably just the budget, but what can you do? Maybe he moves slower in his liquid metal form.
Yeah, well, he probably does, I guess. Anyway...
But yeah, I don't get that either. That's one of the big. At some point, it doesn't make sense to keep that facade going. because they all know what you look like in the cop form, which you keep on repeating, so at least mix it up a bit. Anyhow, yes, that would be a definition of an android. Well, at least the Terminator that Shushi sends, the original Terminator and Arnold Schwarzenegger's model, because I believe the one in T3 is also kind of a special... I forget what that is in T3.
I'm a bad person for this. The only Terminator movie I saw was the, like, terrible reboot.
Salvation?
Yeah, and the TV show. It wasn't terrible, but...
I actually like the Sarah Connor Chronicles,
Sarah Connor Chronicles is only good if you completely ignore everything that happened in Salvation.
Which I'm all for.
Which is pretty easy to do, actually, because I don't remember anything that happened in Salvation.
Well, to be fair, you'd never seen the original too, so you have no faith in this conversation.
That's why I've been stepping out of it.
I'm kind of curious. I know this is a tangent.
You really need to see the original and Terminator 2. They're classics.
I hear especially need to see 2, but...
Yeah.
I prefer 1, but that's a different argument for a different day.
Really? Prefer 1?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear Terminator 2 is one of the sequels that's actually better than the first. Like, definitively.
I prefer the horror aspect they go with 1.
Yeah, you see, in the first one, Sam, the Arnold Schwarzenegger is evil and trying to kill everything. And in the second one...
Don't tell him the second one.
I saw the Disney ride based on Terminator. Twice.
I thought you were going to say the Disney version.
No. It was at Disney World. Universal Studios now. I'm thinking about it. But you go in the room and there's a play, and then you're looking at the play, and they're like, hey, we've created this new robot. And it goes crazy, and it starts like shooting up fake people in the room. It's tense. I don't know why that's burned so vividly in my head. It's my only memory of Terminator, but it definitely is there.
It's like Sam needs to go on a diet of 80s action movies.
I do. I've been trying to watch more movies lately. I saw Three Kings the other day, and it was really good, but that's
good. Good for you. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's specific, like, tropes that go along with robots. Like, there's always, like, whenever a robot is created, it always becomes evil. You know what I mean? Like, there's always
becomes good.
There's always negative repercussions. Yeah. And another one is, as soon as someone puts their dick in it, like, I feel like the overwhelming message of the film world...
Wait a minute. What's the plot of the first Terminator again?
that is not the first Terminator. It's not, maybe the Canadian version.
Hey. No, I feel like the overwhelming message that's being put forward is never fuck a robot, you know?
I don't know how many examples of that I've seen, but I think the overall... theme tends to be that mankind's greatest weakness is its own imagination and creation. Because, yeah, robots do tend to turn on their masters. And, I mean, at the same time, you also have robots, usually when they turn, you usually have the robots who tend to side with the humans later on because they do sympathize with them. You know,
That's the same. Robots either start bad and turn good or start good and turn bad.
Yeah.
And be it when both of those happen in iRobot.
I was about to say, technically, wasn't he always good in iRobot, or does he turn bad near the end?
Well, you think he's bad, and then you learn he's good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Sonny is good all the way throughout. That was a weird movie, too. Like, it wasn't good, but I liked it anyway. You know?
I will defend that it's okay. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I hate it. Well,
the special effects don't hold up at all, but the movie
I was more offended by the... in product placement, like Converse, circa 2005. But that happens. But yeah, that also goes into the big three rules of robotics, that most robots don't follow in the films anyhow, which is, I think they can't kill their master? I don't know. Actually, know the three rules. I should probably...
I should know this just because of Portal.
Oh yeah, get it.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, we're talking about robots, I guess.
I'm looking up how many movies have plots where someone screws a robot.
Why are you still on this?
There's a lot of sex bots out there. I'm not so long.
I mean, aren't vibrators technically robots? Kind of.
I'm moving on. What I do, I don't know what you expect of me.
While Trent is looking up sex bots and Sam is talking about dildos, the three laws of robotics is, one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. 2. A robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. 3. A robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. So essentially, don't kill humans and do anything that won't make you self-destruct.
All right.
There's a gigolo bot in artificial intelligence.
I love how
just wanted to put that out there. Yeah, people have needs, and apparently robots can be programmed to have them too.
Do the robots have the needs, or do people? Like, I can't imagine a robot kind of engaging in that. I guess.
Oh,
what? Have you ever seen Star Trek: The Next Generation?
What about the Stepford Wives?
Data has a penis. That was an entire robot chicken sketch that I watched the other day. That was a song made around the fact that Data.
Oh, right, Data totally has a penis because he had sex with that woman who was only in the first season.
Episode 2. Yep.
Yeah, when she got, I don't know if something happened where she was like not herself, ship. Right?
That's what it was. It's like some
he
like
decided like I'm going to sex drunk. This android, and he programmed himself.
There is a listed on this Wikipedia page that we're looking at for heavy metal, and it just says the robot who had sex with a secretary in heavy metal. That's it. No name.
Yeah. Oh, and the gigolo from artificial intelligence. His name is Gigolo Joe, and the female counterpart is Gigolo Jane.
That's not even how that word works, right? I thought gigolo was specifically a male word.
Well, no. It's a play on the GI kind of.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Juggalo, Jane?
And then there's that girl. You remember the android from Jason X?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I think that is my pick for best android.
That's an awesome. Androids get awesome fight scenes.
She can be blamed for the creation of Uber Jason.
But she gets an awesome action sequence, so there's that. Androids, I was going to say another popular one from the 80s. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, Sam. Johnny Five.
But it was from the 80s, and no, probably not. And no, I didn't.
Trent?
Well, what is the movie?
Short Circuit.
Oh, yeah, I remember Short Circuit.
I've heard of that movie, okay.
Short Circuit's great. Short Circuit 2 is not so good, but it makes me sad every time I watch it.
Is Short Circuit 2 the one where he dies?
You just ruined it for Sam, who will never watch it because they already said it's terrible.
I know, you just told him not to watch it.
I wouldn't have watched it anyway, but...
Basically, Sam, Short Circuit is a very short series of movies with a cultish kind of following. And kind of the derpiest looking robot you could possibly imagine.
But that's what makes him so lovable, is that he...
It is such a thin plot, it is hard to believe.
Is that the one that looks like Wally?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the only reason I know about that movie.
Except terrible. But yeah, he looks like he could be Wally's father, essentially.
And okay. I guess that's another good one, Wally and Evie.
Wally's amazing because, and when I say Wally, I don't mean like the character of Wally, which is interesting in itself. But Wally, the movie is interesting to me because it's a modern day silent film. Like not a single character says a single word until about 80 minutes in. And yeah, there's this whole subplot about environmentalism, but whatever. The whole point of the movie is being able to convey with robots of all things emotions without even saying anything, which I thought was brilliant.
I liked how for researching the role, they watched a bunch of Charlie Chaplin, and that was their, like, what the animators did to prepare for the role.
I was about to say, I'm also surprised they pulled that off or tried that in a kids' movie.
Yeah. Maybe that is the best place for it, though. Maybe adults are just too...
That's the problem with Pixar to me now. I mean, I feel terrible for saying this, but Pixar used to be, like, really, really innovative, right? And, like, up until, like, Cars 2, I don't think I saw a single thing from them that I didn't feel really moved by. And ever since, it's been really hit and miss. I loved Up.
Okay. Cars 1 was still good.
The first Cars I'm actually not that fond of, but Cars 2 really made me hate things.
Yeah.
That's your fault for seeing Cars 2.
That was the first Pixar movie that I was really upset by. And last year on my birthday, Brave came out. And I remember I was really excited about Brave, and I had been anticipating it for months. And
this is the A studio. This is the one that's supposed to be the good one, right?
This is the studio, you know?
Yeah.
And I walked out of Brave feeling really disappointed by it. So I don't know. This is a complete tangent, but I feel like WALL-E was Pixar's opus. You know what I mean? I feel like that was the movie that I don't think you could find a single person that would dislike it. And ever since, it's kind of been downhill for me.
I'm sure there are people that are parked out there somewhere. It always is.
Yeah, they have.
And they will never be my friend.
Aww. But yes, WALL-E, great robot. Another great movie robot, and I think one of Trent's favorite, The Iron Giant.
I love The Iron Giant. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, it's basically
a
Pixar movie. Brad Bird. He went on to direct The Incredibles and Mission Impossible.
Incredibles, so. Yeah. I mean, it has all the same kind of emotional inflections as a Pixar movie would, and it's so easy to get attached to the giant. It's the one movie I think I've seen that I've always kind of teared up to, and there's no shame in me saying that I tear up to it because it's brilliant, but I it was also the movie to sink Fox Animation Studios, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the last thing they ever did.
That sucks. I do miss the competition, because right now it's really just Pixar, DreamWorks, and I guess Disney's animated studio, who... They've done good work with Tangled and Wreck-It Ralph.
I've always liked Disney Animation. Disney Toon Studios does not have a great reputation with me.
That's the one that they've changed?
I don't know if you know this, there's two different divisions to the Disney's kind of entertainment division. And one of them is Disney Animation, who made all those classics like Cinderella and The Little Mermaid and The Lion King, and helped co-produce all the major Pixar films. That's great. And of course, yeah, recently they did Wreck-It Ralph, and they still do shorts. And they're amazing. They're artists, really. And then there's the other division, which is Disney Toon Studios. And Disney Toon Studios are the ones that did all those direct-to-sequel movies and terrible television shows. So Hercules, the TV show, was Disney Toon. Cinderella 2, Cinderella 3, Tarzan 2, Pocahontas 2. Like, all the terrible things that are attached to Disney that Disney didn't actually really spend a lot of money or time on were created by Disney Toon. So when Planes came out this past year, a whole bunch of people went to see it because they thought it was like a sequel to Cars. They thought that Pixar had done it. Pixar had no involvement in it whatsoever. It exists within the same universe as the Cars movies, but it was created by Disney Toon Studios and intended for a DVD release, but they thought they could make more money off of putting it in theaters anyway, and they did. And it was terrible, and it was atrocious, and I wouldn't recommend it to my worst enemy. So yeah, Disney Toon Studios sucks, and I will never like their movies.
Speaking of things Trent does not support, Alpha 5 from Power Rangers.
Alpha 5 and Power Rangers, yes. I love Power Rangers, I really do. Alpha 5, which one was Alpha 5? Was he the first one, or was he the second one?
He's the first one.
The first one is less painful to listen to than the second one, but both.
Let's not talk about the second one at all.
Yeah,
that is the racist robot from Transformers. It's the Jive talking Alpha.
Yeah, it's pretty ethnic. It's terrible. I love the show. I love Megazords. I think that those are boss. I wouldn't watch any of the modern day Power Rangers, but yeah, I'll watch like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or Power Rangers Zeo or Lost Galaxy on Netflix. Why not? I think that's awesome. Alpha is one character in all of his forms that I don't think I'll ever miss. He existed to throw out pop culture references and be really friggin' annoying to, I think, make everyone else look better.
I always thought that was his role, was kind of to be annoying, because like he wasn't really needed. Zordon was their mentor. The Power Rangers did all the fighting, and he just kind of walked around their power center being all nervous and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember which episode. I don't even know if this is a if this was a season or what, but there's also an Alpha 7 in a Data series. I don't know if it's Alpha 5 Reborn or whatever, but yeah, I do know they bring him back. And I don't even get his design. He kind of looks like he has a hamburger on his head.
I you lost me, so.
Have you ever seen Power Rangers?
I, not in the longest time.
Sam watches nothing.
I watched Power Rangers, but I was like 4 when I watched Power Rangers. The only Power Rangers knowledge I have is through Second Man.
Which Power Rangers were you watching when you were 4, Sam?
I don't know. I don't even know the difference.
How old are you now?
21. 20.
Oh, God.
Sam, I may not have directly been 4, but I was young enough to where I don't remember a thing about it.
Then.
it would have been around Turbo and In Space, really, I think. That would have been, like, 99-ish?
In Space was great. Turbo was an abomination.
Yeah.
Don't speak of Turbo.
We don't speak of Turbo too much. More famous robots from television. We had this discussion before we went on the air. Transformers. Robots in disguise. Technically speaking, alien creatures.
Okay. Their tagline is robots in disguise. And, like, you hear them say it during the intro, you know. And they're called Autobots and Decepticons. I mean, come on. They're bots. They're robots. But I feel like the only reason why people are like, oh, they're an alien species, is because when one of them dies, they turn gray and are gone forever. Like, in a rational sense, that doesn't make any sense, because they're robots. You should be able to just open up their chest and reconnect some cables or something, right?
I mean, they kind of do that in the first Transformers movie. Arguably, one of them dies.
But we don't talk about Transformers movie.
All right.
Can we talk about the Transformers movie where they kill off like 20 or 30 of them?
Just buy new toys.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That made me sad.
You know, if Transformers are aliens, then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are also aliens.
We are not going to have that discussion.
They're about the same level of alien.
Well, no. Okay, here's the thing. And, you know, this, you know, like, I would say I don't. I understand that robots in disguise, and I say that from a human's perspective. Take, for example, the two recent games, Fall of Cybertron and War for Cybertron. Those take place on Cybertron. There are no humans. To them, they are the native species of that planet. They aren't robots on Cybertron. They are Cybertron's inhabitants.
So we are the robots on Cybertron, man.
We're not robots, but I'm just saying. They are sentient beings who exist without us.
We're all just robots to them, man.
I'm picturing, like, you know that weird picture of the guy who's at the rave and looks like he just had a major revelation?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that meme where it's like maybe on Cybertron.
Where he's surrounded by Transformers. And all the other ravers are transforming robots. He's just like, oh.
That is, like, the most retarded thing. Oh, this is magical.
It is magical.
But to be fair, I think like, Autobots and Decepticons technically are also, like, they're like Zords, too. Because there were episodes of the TV shows where people, like, humans would be riding inside one of them. So
yeah, I never really got that, because, like, sometimes they would transform with them inside and somehow...
How did they not crush the inhabitants, you know? Like, obviously Michael Bay wasn't directing those episodes, or, like, the chest cavity would have destroyed their heads when it turned into a car, you know?
Yep. But as a kid, you just kind of went with it and thought it was cool, but yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, to be fair, the TV show as a kid didn't make a lot of sense either, Earl. Pretty much every single plot revolved around... What were the cubes called? So was it, like, Energon? Energon cubes. Every single plot, Energon.
Well, the 80s were very simple times. You had a good guy, you had a bad guy, and that was pretty much...
The 80s were simple times. No, okay. Here's a history lesson, folks. Because of George Lucas and the Star Wars films, it became illegal in certain markets to create a television show based on a line of toys. So they created Transformers and then released a line of toys and perpetuated Transformers in order to sell more toys. And when the Transformers movie came out after three seasons, they killed off as many Transformers as they could to introduce a new line of toys. It was ruthless marketing, and we all fall for it.
Well, some of us. I wasn't a fan of Transformers when I was younger. I got into it with the Michael Bay movies. But moving on. Well, I mean, because to me,
I was only a huge fan because my brother was. My brother is significantly older than I am, and
Transformers,
and I had all the toys. And...
Yeah, because Transformers peak was like the mid '80s. I would have been.
Well, see, I don't know because it had kind of a reemergence around the time Beast Wars was on.
Yeah, but by then I was kind of at that point where you kind of get out of animation because it would have been around when I was 10. Because it was like 94, 95.
Yeah.
With that, and to me it was, and at the time I will admit I wasn't a fan of CG cartoons back then. Beast Wars reboot. Any of that stuff.
Because they're Canadian, isn't it?
I had no beef with Canadians back then. I didn't know Canada was a country.
But he does today, folks.
Yeah. So for me, especially being that I had my robot fills with Power Rangers, because like you said, Transformers were basically Zords. They transformed and stuff. And you got five of them that could transform into a super robot in Power Rangers.
Only certain ones.
Yeah, so... But yeah, and G.I. Joe is kind of the same thing with me, even though G.I. Joe, I guess not necessarily G.I. Joe, but more I was a fan of like the little green soldier men. I don't know if you folks had those when you were kids.
Army men?
Yes, the army men. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I'm actually kind of sad they don't make those games anymore, even though they were never that great.
Well, I think they still produce them here. Like, they're still in all the toy stores.
Well, I meant like, they used to make like, video games.
Yeah, the Sergeant Zero's game.
Oh. Well, that's because 3DO went under, like, hard.
Yeah, they still make the, I know we're supposed to talk about video games or whatever, but I like those, is it called Toy Soldiers, the Xbox Live games they make?
Oh, yeah.
Those are nice. The, like, RTS game that they turned it into. And it's basically the same kind of concept. It's still made using Army Men.
And I guess since we've kind of jumped back and forth on this, you might as well talk about some famous video game robots. You've mentioned GURPS from Portal already. I guess the other two from Portal 2 as well. I don't even remember their names.
Wheatley? How do you not remember Wheatley's name?
No, I thought that is the two from Co-op.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, you're right. They do have names. I think Wheatley before I think of the two from Co-op. Like... The two from Co-op, sure, they're characters and that you make them characters, but
best part about Portal. He's funny, but I love the Co-op characters just because, again, it's little things in games, like the fact that you can high-five and hug after doing something.
It was nice.
It was a great feature.
I have a question. Like, where do we draw the line between robots and, like, psychotic computer programs?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, I guess if it has a physical form.
Well, what if it could have a physical form?
Yeah,
but it doesn't necessarily
get the physical form.
Because, like, if you look at the plot of iRobot, like, that's what that's about. Or the plot of, like, System Shock 2, you know what I mean?
I was going to say the first Resident Evil. The movie, not the game.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what are you on? I'm sorry, Earl, I don't acknowledge the first Resident Evil as a real thing. So
I don't acknowledge the first Resident Evil movie as the first thing that comes to mind when somebody says the word Resident Evil.
See, I try and pretend for my own sanity that is not real.
I learned today that Mila Jovovich is married to the director, and that's why she keeps getting cast as the lead character
that
over
is
and
exactly
over and over.
Right, my friend. See, to give you a bit of a history lesson, I guess.
Oh, another one. Are you like 90 years old? That's what I'm gathering from this.
Yes, that's where this conversation is going. Back
what
in
were
my
robots like in World War II?
Essentially, there was a long time where like he was with other people, and she had a different husband altogether, who was like a French art film director.
That sounds wild.
Yeah, it was the same thing that happened to like Kate Beckinsale when she was in, or that's her name, right? When she was in the Evolution movies.
Underworld.
Underworld, yeah, yeah, yeah. Aside, the long and the short is Mila fell for Paul W.S. Anderson's lack of talent, and he's put her in every single film he's made ever since. And she's been naked about 60 times.
Everybody has their fetish.
Yeah, I mean, he's proud of it, I guess, you know.
I wouldn't be. Here's the thing. Not knocking Mila Jovovich, because she's not, like, it's not like she's not attractive, but I feel like, and I feel like Lady Gaga has this problem too. When you see too much of someone too often, you stop thinking that person is sexy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no mystique there.
It's the forbidden fruit theory.
Sure.
So I don't know. I look at Mila Jovovich, and I don't see her as like a sex symbol or a sex icon. I literally see her as that annoying bitch who plays that character that rightfully shouldn't exist in the Resident Evil universe.
I mean, and that's true. She is that character for all intents and purposes. Like, she
that's
does not
an
really
specific
do
role for her.
Other movies.
Well, and like, if we're being blunt, it's a Mary Sue. I mean, a lot of the events that take place in the Resident Evil movies have some weird kind of links to the Resident Evil games, except for the one where they're in the desert and the world has turned brown. That doesn't make any sense.
My favorite one. Talked about this in a different podcast.
But her character, trying to write her into this universe, she is the one character that kills all the important enemies, has all the special abilities, and nothing moves forward without her. But she's a complete Mary Sue. Like, she's in no way necessary. All the characters were good without her.
So I will say they may as well put her in a game at this point, because it's not like the games have been doing well on their own.
I'm surprised they haven't.
Boycott. So hard I would boycott.
I'm really surprised they haven't done like a spinoff, because that seems like a great way to kind of make a Resident Evil game without making a proper Resident Evil game. And
sure, and what the fuck else is she doing right now? She has time to voice a character.
Yeah. And they could even, like, they could reuse, like, Resident Evil 6 engine, make it a side story.
That would be the least purchased thing ever. But
I would be surprised, depending on how it turns out. But I guess get it back to video game robots. Mega Man's also a big one, or probably the biggest one?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my mind went to the Elusive Man, but Mega Man is probably a better example.
the Elusive Man is a side character in a franchise. Mega Man is the, well, yeah. I mean, if you ask Capcom, they don't know who he is anymore, but he was a mega star.
He was a man.
Mega Man?
Well, now he's a Mega Man.
And, you know, one of the greatest things in video gaming, I guess, I think the concept of, you know, defeating your enemies to zone their powers and using it against their friends to take over the world. That is what Mega Man's doing.
Right? So, confession time? No, I'm just kidding. I've absolutely played Mega Man game.
Oh my gosh, I would have been so sad.
I do think I played only the Game Boy ones, but I played some Mega Man.
You have, like, the weirdest history with any franchise.
I'm just young, I guess, and that's what happens.
That's not even true. I mean, Mega Man 9 and 10 were from this generation.
Yeah.
But Mega Man is an old person game.
Not an old person.
Oh, okay, old person in the relative to video games, because like it.
If Mega Man is a little bit too hardcore for you, I'm sorry.
You gotta admit, though, Mega Man appeals to people that have been playing games for a long time. Like, people that didn't know who Mega Man was aren't gonna look at a 2D Mega Man game and be like, oh yeah, that looks fun, let me try out that out.
I disagree with you, because a lot of the Mega Man fans that I know today were born kind of within your age range. Like, they rightfully wouldn't have been susceptible to the Mega Man franchise when
they
were
playing. Did they grow up playing them, though?
No, actually. It's one of these. Here's the thing about Mega Man, and I feel like the same is true about game series that have lasted a long time, like Zelda or Final Fantasy. If you ask someone about these series, they at least have a working knowledge of it. And a lot of them, if they're really interested in gaming and expanding their own kind of horizons, will kind of check out the games on their own. So a lot of the players that I know who have played a lot of the Mega Man games, they didn't do it until their adulthood. Like, I know some older gamers, older than myself, if you can believe it. I know I'm 80, but who had played it when they were children. But for the most part, a lot of the people that I know that played it only found out about it way late in their life. So there's still time, you know?
Well, I just to back up a bit, when you said the GBA ones, which ones do you mean specifically?
There's a lot.
I do not remember. I played it on actually not even Game Boy Advance. It was Game Boy Color.
Okay, I was about to say, because I think what would have happened with your generation more than the Mega Man games would have been the Mega Man BattleNet series, the RPG franchise. And I think that would have been, because that was popular during the early 2000s. And then they did the whole Pokemon thing where you get like, two or three different versions to get all the, but yeah, there was an animated series for that as well. So that was the kind of Mega Man boom in the early, and then there's Mega Man Legends. But I can kind of see a point with the Mega Man kind. I do think there's a certain attribute to certain people who kind of see it as like, this is an old school game. It doesn't have all the trappings we're used to now. But fundamentally, the reason these franchises continue to exist 20, 30 years later is because they've always been built on solid foundations that anybody can kind of jump into. Right. I do think that trial and error gaming isn't something people are really used to anymore because we're just kind of given games that can kind of lead you throughout the course of the combat without any real struggle because they want you to see everything.
Now I'm just thinking of games that I've only played the weird entries to in the series. Like, I've only played Final Fantasy IX.
That's not a lot of people's favorite.
Okay.
I think it's weird for that era between 7, 8, and 10. But I think of those four, it was like one of the more classical ones. At least that's what people's.
I've never actually owned a like PlayStation console for very long. I owned a PS3 for a little while. But before that, I never owned a PlayStation console, so I just played it at my friend's house one night and stayed up all night playing it and forgot to save. And Final Fantasy has no autosave system, so...
Yeah, I was about to say that. I mean, that is something that is a newer thing as well, because back in the days, and even nowadays, I guess, with autosave... Like, that happened to me with the first Mass Effect. I got paid for an hour and a half, and I was just so accustomed.
Yeah, I remember that.
Since now, that I turned it off, and I came back, and nothing saved. I'm like... Damn it to hell, and I never went back to that game.
That happened to me as well. What else? I only played Bomberman 64.
Well, that's a good one. A lot of people tend to swear by the Saturn version, and Bomberman's also a robot, I think.
Hey, here we go. We can bring this back around, since I've just completely derailed this video
robot?
Game talk.
I'm trying to think. I really don't want to bring this up, but he's a robot. Well... He's a robot in Bomberman X-Zero.
Oh, shut up. We're not talking about that. That game doesn't
exist. He said I didn't want to bring it up, but I always assumed Bomberman was a robot.
I never thought Bomberman was a robot. I just thought he was like a cute little chibi character, you know? And then X-Zero comes out and takes everything to the extreme and makes me cry in my sleep.
I'm really curious now, though, because I don't know what he is.
It is not to say in the Bomberman Wikipedia page that he is a robot anywhere. It just refers to him as a he. Also, he is a Bomber John in Bomberman Touch. So, I mean, if his name's John, well, not that John has stopped people from being robots in the past, but...
He's my bomber!
I don't know.
My bomber!
I don't know how legit that is if it's just in one game. Because, like, I don't call Mario Mario and Luigi Mario based on...
Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah,
that's absolutely canon.
No, it is.
I mean, technically speaking, it has to be canon for them to be the Mario.
No. Nintendo has stated publicly, that they're mononymous. They only have one name each. There's no last name.
Yeah. Oh, I subscribe to that. I'm just saying it always. You know, technically, for it to make sense, to be Mario Brothers, they should be as named Mario, not Mario and his brother Luigi. But yes, there's no robots in the Mario franchise, to my knowledge. I could be mistaken there. I don't know. I mean, there's enough spinoffs and side stories that you'll probably come across some type of robot or some type of hitting robot or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's enough. That's interesting. All right.
Chibi Robot? Chibi Robo, I should say, from the Chibi Robo games, is kind of...
Is that the cute little one that plugged into different outlets?
Yes. He was kind of a helper robot.
I had an R2-D2 Tamagotchi once.
How did that go?
Oh, I don't remember.
Do you have to feed your robot?
You do, yeah. You had to feed R2-D2. I don't remember what you fed him. It may not have been a Tamagotchi. I think it was a Gigapet, is what they called it. Like, the knockoff Tamagotchi. That's why, yeah. They had, like, licensed Gigapets, and I bought it because it was R2-D2, but he died pretty quick.
Well, you are a kind and caring...
there's a reason I don't want kids.
Because you couldn't take care of a fake Tamagotchi?
Yeah, Yep, it all started at such
a
young age.
That takes it to the next level, yo.
I can't even take care of a fake Tamagotchi.
Speaking of things you don't want to take care of, Claptrap from Borderlands is a super annoying robot to me.
I think he's adorable.
He's adorable for one game, but he talks like this all the time.
Yeah, I think
he's just excited about things.
I think what happened was they got lucky. He was really fun in the first game, and then they made him a bigger part of the expansion, and then he's a huge part of part two. And he does kind of get annoyed. Don't get me wrong. He has some great moments.
Yeah.
But I think the overuse of him in that game kind of gets annoying.
Yeah, and they knew he was funny in Borderlands 2 and just completely dug into it hard. Though I think it's funny that you start playing Borderlands 2, and then you see that they kind of realize that Claptrap's getting annoying, so they start, like, mentioning it in the story context to try to save themselves. Like, everybody, whenever they talk about Claptrap's, always like, oh, he's so annoying. And there's, like, a funny bit with this birthday party, but they do overuse him just a little bit. And then, because Borderlands is also a game that's, like, made to be played multiple times with different characters, and the second time you had to put up with Claptrap, he's not nearly as funny as the first.
Yeah, and also, like, he's the first character you meet, really, and you kind of, with him, like, the first hour and a half of the game.
Yeah.
He's your guide, he's your Navi, or your Phi.
No one's gonna like him if you compare him to Navi, but...
I've never had any beef with Navi. I guess partially because I don't like Ocarina of Time, but that's a whole different discussion for another day.
Weird.
I've played Ocarina of Time. Right.
I've never beaten a Zelda game either.
I think one week we're just gonna have Sam sit here and name one of the things he hasn't done.
No, the things I haven't done, and how in the world I'm like a professional games journalist.
I haven't seen this movie. I've always seen that movie. Like, he's probably always seen If Free and Die Hard or A Good Day to Die Hard or something.
You're actually right about that. I've never
Die
Hard 1 through... 1
oh,
through whenever they drop the numbers to start doing the subtitles.
No, you did. No, there's no numbers in the franchise. I mean,
oh, okay. Let's see. Where did I start? I started on the reboot with the guy from...
Justin Dong.
Yeah, basically the reboot, quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah. How?
I sat down to watch a Die Hard movie, and I just didn't get through it, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're going to end the show here.
I'm breaking my heart.
I'm just too upset right now.
I have it on my hard drive. I will make that my priority.
It is one of my favorite... I mean, you know, it's trying to cheat. It's one of my favorite movies to watch in December because it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and everybody says it's a Christmas movie. I'm like, okay, I'll watch it at Christmas, and Christmas comes around, and I, like, watch Doctor Who instead, or I go to a movie and watch all five movies that come out in one day on Christmas afternoon.
Well, this is why you have an entire month to do that, but we'll get to that in December when we do our Christmas movie stuff. Okay, back to robots. Any more robots that we might have missed or skipped over?
I'm trying to think of, like, main character robots in video games. Does the guy Vanquish count? No, I guess that's a mech suit. Or power armor, if you're using the Saints Row 4 joke.
Yeah, but technically, I mean, power armor, you know, that doesn't count. It's just an argument.
Power armor. That was one of my favorite jokes in Saints Row 4.
It's
pretty good.
It's like, what is it? What is that show? Centaurians? Which is a show that probably predates both of you.
Yeah. But, I haven't seen Die Hard 1. Let's not get too deep with these references.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, Trent. I'm still hurt as well, but we have to champion on and get through this.
I made it 3/4 of the way through Alien.
I think you need to stop talking now.
It was the extended director's cut edition that was 3 hours long, and I couldn't do it.
That's your own damn fault.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting into.
4-hour-long version of Watchmen and, like, fell asleep halfway through.
I couldn't do that.
I thought it was a robot movie, though, that I have seen.
What?
Goddammit, I forgot. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's not a robot.
He's in the movie that's about people who are robots.
Star Wars?
The only other movie Harrison Ford is known for.
Indiana Jones?
You know what? Okay, I have seen those. That was very dumb on my part to say that. Absolutely right. I was thinking Blade Runner. That's what
I was thinking. That. I was about to say, but he's known for automobiles.
They're
right, he is. I'm absolutely, I can't believe I said that. I should just go sit in the corner for the rest of the show.
I'm actually surprised he has so many famous characters.
Yeah.
That's kind of hilarious.
Blade Runner is the one I was thinking of, though.
Yeah.
And I'm sure y'all knew that a while ago. Just wanted me to eat my own hat in this phrase.
Harrison Ford has a great career. He's known for a lot of things.
And now he rides around in a helicopter and saves people.
Yeah.
That happens on occasion, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also Ender's... He's in Ender's Game, isn't he?
Yeah.
There was another podcast I was listening to that made a funny joke about his character. That he's basically just sitting there, like, pleasuring himself to Ender the entire movie. Because every time it cuts up to him, he's, like, hunched over with the scowl. He's like, oh, yeah, he's perfect. Oh, that boy's just perfect.
I thought it was going to be, because a lot of people, he just kind of phones in most of his performances nowadays. He just shows up on set and asks for a script, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I did think, not necessarily mainstream, but, I mean, they are popular, and we beat them up in video games as well. The Mouse is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
I hated finding them
obscure, but...
single TMNT game, though.
Well, Mouses aren't obscure.
Hey, that's one I played the good one of. I played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 on the Super Nintendo, so... And I've
wait, that's,
that one.
You mean 4?
4. Turtles in Time.
Yeah, that's 4.
It's 4?
That's
okay. 2.
It's 4.
2!
No, it's 4.
4.
Well, okay then.
You're breaking my heart, Sam.
Is it really not 2? I could have sworn.
No, it's 4. I still own a Super Nintendo card of that game.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, a sequel to the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Yeah, but there are... two others that are Nintendo exclusive.
Originally, Turtles in Time was ported to the Nintendo set. Okay, where it was retitled to serve as a sequel to... okay, got it.
Yeah.
Fine.
I know my Ninja Turtles.
As an arcade game, it's 2, though, I think.
Yeah, it might have been a second arcade game. But
I was going to say, I've seen 2 put in front of this game before.
I don't think it has a 2 moniker in
it does
the
not
arcade.
Super Nintendo
like,
one.
It literally says on the box art, and I can send this to each of you, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time.
Oh, yeah, no, I still have the Super Nintendo card as well.
And I remember this because I love the box art because all of the turtles look like Battletoads. Because they're...
Let's not get too obscure for Mr. Sam over there.
It's absolutely 4. I don't know. But I mean, there are a couple other references in the internet of people calling it 2, but maybe they're just wrong like I am. Yeah,
it might have, but yeah, and I won't ever remesh. Just gets me so upset.
they did remaster.
No, that's what I mean, the remastered version.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Gosh.
I'm not a big fan of the one they just released to live either.
No, that's terrible.
I don't think there are any big fans of that game.
Yeah, there's like this weird uncanny valley thing going on with all their faces. Like they're
it shouldn't happen for Ninja Turtles. They're humanoid turtles. Like, they shouldn't have to look human.
they're like terrifying. Like they're still trying to be comedic, which would make sense if they were stylized like the recent CGI-ish television show, but they're all, like, ultra-realistic, and it weirds me the fuck out.
Yeah, either that or, like, the CG, they have a CG movie, they have a CG cartoon. There's a lot of things you could have pulled from for resources instead of creating these weird monsters.
I think what they were aiming for was, like a Batman Arkham Asylum ultra-gritty realistic thing. And it super doesn't work.
Again, it would work if you went with their art style of the original Ninja Turtles comic book series or something like that. Doing this... Yeah, moving on. I'm not going to... I guess... What other robots do we have? Oh, comic books. We have Ultron, who is going to be the main villain of Avengers 2, which is, dependent on the origins, a creation. Going back to what we were talking about before, robots turning evil. A creation of Hank Pym. And I guess Avengers 2 is going to be Tony Stark, who turns on his master and tries to rule
Tony humanity. Stark, robot or cyborg? That's true.
Yeah. Power suit.
Power armor.
Another group of robots that I'm a huge fan of, the Sentinels from X-Men. But, I mean,
okay.
a huge fan, not in the sense that, yeah, Sentinels, but more like they're pretty badass villains to have, and whenever they show up, you know things are going to go down.
If we're looking at movies, I'm a big fan of Machinimensch from, one of my favorite movies is,
I just had a... Oh.
Metropolis.
I just had like a Twitch response to the beginning of that word. You said machine, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's not.
Machine.
The machine syllables are just like.
Anyway, the whole concept of Metropolis, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but it's essentially...
Did I see a movie? No, probably not.
Well, you probably, like a lot of people my age wouldn't have either, because this came out in the early 19th century. It's a black and white, it's one of the first black and white science fiction films. It's kind of a classic. It was a German movie, and the reason why I like it is because it's just really well done. Like, I would recommend watching it, but the whole concept is there's a fascist society where there's the rich people who party and have fun all day, and then there's the poor who suffer all day. And there's this woman named Maria who becomes like this champion of the poor and is almost like martyred by them. And one of these crazy evil scientists decided to create a female robot that looks exactly like Maria, but is extremely sexual and manipulative and evil, to sow dissent among the poor people. And it is the actress is amazing in it, because never have I seen a robot freak me out so much. Yeah, so I would wholeheartedly recommend you
now
watch
it. Now you're scared of the sex robots.
Yeah, the sexy robot is scary to me. That's right. This one, at least.
Back to sexy robots.
What about Tom Servo?
Top 10 sexiest robots, go. The freaky girl from Transformers 2.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that was up about, but that, yeah, she really bothered me. do any of you guys watch MST3K?
Yeah, not started too much. Yeah. Oh, you say I'm watching something.
Yeah.
So Tom
I started watching the movie, and I got part of the way through it. Yeah. I do that a lot.
What was I? Oh, another one from comic books, and I guess not movies yet. Brainiac from Superman.
Is Krang a robot?
Is who?
Ninja Turtles. Krang, right?
Krang isn't a robot. Krang's very hard to describe.
It's a brain of some sort, but...
Yeah, it's a brain, and it's kind of like a android suit.
All right.
Yeah, it's really weird. But speaking of, I guess, the original Ninja Turtles, they were robots. The foot soldiers, I should say, were robots in the original.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah. Because you can't kill humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can do a lot more with robots than you can with humans.
Yeah. Like every guy Batman ever fought in Batman the Animated Series.
I don't think anybody was a robot. Well, I mean, there was Hard Act.
I mean, every time Batman had to punch somebody's head in, it would, like, magically turn out that he's a robot.
Oh, yeah. Again, it's something like that. And I think the thing they also had fun doing was whenever they had the ventriloquist, his dummy, because it was a dummy that can, like, torture him and do, like, the most insane. Like, I think once he got chopped up by a wood chipper, the other time he got gunned down. And it's like, it's a puppet, so they could do whatever.
Right.
I just asked someone what their favorite robots were, and he's a Doctor Who fan, so he said the Daleks and the
how do we miss Daleks that
and the Cybermen, but those would be those would be cyborgs though, wouldn't they? Well,
yeah. Aliens, they're
the
aliens.
Essentially a mech, isn't it?
Huh?
There's a
suit for a little
right?
alien.
Yeah, so that doesn't even work.
Yeah, and I think the modern day Cybermen are actually humanoids. I mean, they're cyborgs.
Humans, right?
Yeah. I think the originals weren't.
Okay.
Do it originally though. Like, it's kind of hard to argue with what the originals are supposed to be, but there.
Dioxs are aliens, and that's pretty much their battle armor, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Though, I mean, they're another one that's like aliens, quote unquote, but they're basically, for all intents and purposes, robots in 95% of the episodes.
Oh, that's supposed to be, but yeah, you see that they house it. It's the same. It's kind of the same discussion we get to have with Krang,
right?
Where it'll think being housed in a larger battle suit or whatever you want to call
though,
it.
Though I like how forever, like, all it takes is one guy that thinks they aren't robots to ruin the fact that things are robots. Like, Doctor Who had many different showrunners before the revelation that Daleks were aliens happened. So, ostensibly, for years they're originally intended to be robots, and all of a sudden some guy comes along and he's like, oh, let's make them aliens in suits instead. And then from now on they had to be aliens in suits.
Yeah, I mean, that usually happens when you have a long-running thing and somebody wants to put their stamp on it and something. Yeah. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it does. I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter if they're robots or, you know, aliens inside of
it. But it absolutely does for this podcast.
Well, for this podcast, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big.
You have to be phrase specific.
let's see, any other robots that we might have missed out on?
Boba Fett. No, I'm just kidding. Because those shitty bounty hunters that were along with Boba Fett, but we opened.
Aren't those clones?
They're the ones that are cloned after Boba Fett, but I mean in episode 3, or not the original episode 3. Yeah.
Episode 6.
Yeah, episode 6. I've never seen it. No, I'm just kidding. I've seen all the Star Wars movies too.
But that's not something you want to brag about.
Yeah. No, I like the Star Wars movies. I grew up in the original Star Wars movies.
Good for you.
I want to say, I think the original Astro Boy is a robot, right?
Yeah, he still is a robot.
Well, I bet he was one of the original, like one of the old school ones, because that's who Mega Man's based off of as well.
Yeah, that's not too surprising. Sure.
So, yeah, I think that's it for robots.
Yeah, I think we're running low on robots.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if we explained this at the start of the show, the reason we actually did this podcast. Was that this weekend, I believe it's the 17th and 18th, is the premiere of Almost Human on Fox, which is a show about it's a futuristic cop show.
By the way, this entire show is based on robots. I don't know if y'all caught on to that. I don't know if we ever said that, but...
but I'm saying why.
Oh, gotcha. By the way, it's a robot show.
Yeah, it's about cops who get paired up with a robotic or cybernetic partner.
It's about Carl Urban having an excuse to be on TV again. But.
Which I found weird. I thought Carl Urban was making decent money in his Star Trek movies, right? But I guess he needs to do TV as well.
What the hell is Carl Urban?
Wait, really?
Doctor from the new Star Trek.
But Dredd, as the internet would say.
Yeah, he's Dredd. He's also from Doom, I believe.
Yeah, and he's Dr. Bones in Star Trek.
Okay, yeah. I really like Judge Dredd. I'm not great when it comes to actors' names unless they're really, like, known.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a slight towards him. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. He's not super well-known, but the people that know him like him.
Yeah, I don't think anything he's been in has done remarkably well, but he does have franchises on his belt.
He is in Star Trek that has done remarkably well.
Yeah, but I was going to say that, like I said, he's a Eden. He's not an Eden Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, like Doom, Dredd, stuff. I mean, there was rumors like people have always kind of championed him for Batman because he has to look for it as well. Yeah, he's in Red.
I didn't like Red.
I thought Red was okay. But yeah, robots. So check. I actually don't want. I don't recommend that show. That one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it as well is I forgot to do a review of it when I did Comic Con because I got to check out the first episode. It really is kind of by the books. It's a cop who doesn't like robots, kind of like Will Smith and iRobots, who finds the one he can trust and work with, and you know the drill. So, yippee! So yes, that's that.
All right.
Check out. Oh, this week is the launch of the PlayStation 4, so check that out.
I'm so glad we didn't have to talk about that again.
Like I said, one of the criteria this week was not talking about video games. We've talked a lot about video games over the last
I want the PlayStation 4 so bad, but I'm not supposed to buy it.
I was playing with it today when I was at, we just got Target here in Canada, and I was at one of the stores that just launched, and they had a PlayStation 4 there, and I was playing one of the launch games on it. It was really comfortable, but I noticed that, you know how they've been talking about the PlayStation Eye and comparing it to the Kinect?
Yeah.
Yeah, the PlayStation camera for the PS4 is like the size of your palm. Like, it's really, really tiny. And I had no idea based on all the stuff I've read about it.
Right.
That's actually kind of cool if it works as advertised and is that tiny. Because one of the problems people have with Kinect, that thing's huge. And part of it is because it has so much, I guess, quote-unquote, brains in it. But yes, PlayStation 4 is out this week. excited. I'm sure we'll have coverage on that and, you know, all that podcast and stuff like that, impressions. And then the Xbox One is out next week. But, wow, I am guilty of not having Trent ask a dog up yet this week because I haven't figured out a question that he likes.
I'm very demanding, yeah.
Maybe Sam could come up with something for you.
What? I can sort of, my call dropped there for a second.
Oh, okay. Now, I said maybe you can come up with a question for Trent to answer this week about anything that isn't next-gen related.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about next-gen systems anymore.
I really don't. I'm so happy that we're over this. I will just say this much. I'm so happy this process is only a couple of months this time around and not a year and a half like it was for previous generations because that gets old fast. And this 6 months was insane.
Hey, Trent, for your questions for this week, just make me a list of movies that I should have watched.
Okay. That sounds like a plan, actually.
There you go. There's your challenge.
Yeah.
But yes, check out the website. We have a ton of comic book reviews up. We have two new comic writers who came in this week, so that's exciting. This week we're redoing, in our Thanksgiving month of 151 proof movies, we're doing Knock Off with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rob Snyder because I hate myself sometimes. We have, you know, we have, as much as we don't want to talk about it, we do have a podcast up this week that's looking at, it's the pre-launch, super-launch extravaganza as we take a look at the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One launch lineups and what we expect from the systems this year. Monday, hopefully, if God willing, we should have our top 7 games of the generation podcast up as well, and I'm sure that's going to be fairly straight to the point, and nobody's going to have any arguments because we all agree it's Super Mario Galaxy. So check that out. Check out all the wonderful content.
We just did the whole podcast right now.
And yeah, check out Robots. Robots are awesome. And if you have any suggestions for Sam to watch or play, send it to us or send it to
There's a good email topic for next week. Send in all the movies that I need to watch or games I need to play.
It's going to be a super long email.
It will. That'll be a whole podcast. It's like educating Sam the podcast.
Aww.
But for Sam and Trent and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 152.
See you later.
Holy shit, 152.
In a future time, children will work together to build a giant cyborg. Robot parade, wave the flags that the robots made. Robot parade, robots obey what the children say. There's electric cars, there's electric trains, here comes a robot with electric brains. Robot parade, wave the flags that the robots made. Robot parade, robots obey what the children say.